Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red winter May wheat, 833 down 10. July, 837 and a quarter down 8 and a half. Soft May wheat, 726 and a quarter down 5 and a half. July, 732 and a half down 6 and a half. May corn, 511 and a half down 1 and a half, now up a half. July, 517 and a quarter, now a half unchanged. December, 508 and 3 quarters, down 3 quarters. May soybeans, 1449, down 15. July, 1447 and 3 quarters, down 11 and 3 quarters. November, 1219, down 6 and a quarter. May soybean meal, 481.90, down 470. May soybean oil, 40.55, down 36. June live cattle, 138.45, up 15 cents. May feeders, 184, 12 and a half, up 65. And May lean hogs, 115.25, down 80. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group, and she is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave.
And the train rumbles on down the tracks toward Friday's WASDE release.
Oh, yes.
Will it be anything that will move the markets out of their current ranges, or at the end of the day when the dust settles, will be in a range, or maybe will be in a expanded range but still a range?
Well, I really think it's going to be tough for it to be, you know, like any other report. We already have so much into this, into the marketplace. When you looked at today's, you know, they're talking about the fact that we expect to see, lower corn numbers, lower bean numbers for this year, and yet world numbers increasing. And so, you know, it's always tough to see a market really go wild if you see an increase on the world side. And so, you know, when you look at the average guesses, of course, production for... They expect production to drop. They expect bean production to actually drop just slightly, not enough to really make a big difference. And they certainly expect to see the carryout drop compared to what the February USDA numbers were. And I'm not surprised by that because, you know, if you remember back to last year when we had delayed planting, we actually saw, a little over a 5-bushel drop. I don't think we'll see that much this time because we are actually ahead of where we were last year. But I think that when you look at the general guesses, that's what it's reflecting. So, you know, we have to come in above 1.6 billion on corn at least and above 300 million on beans to actually be negative the marketplace, and anything below that certainly would be very positive. So is it going to be a big mover and a shaker? Well, sure it can if we get a great big surprise, you know, but in general, I think that the moving and the shaking basically is more on the side of the idea that imports maybe are really meeting our needs for old crop beans. You know, China hasn't been buying, and no one's been canceling. Mexico canceled last week, and now today we actually saw bean deliveries. And so I think that's got the market a little more spooked than anything. And yet, what's 10 cents down or 8 cents down on beans? Not very much.
Not when you look at it on a percentage basis.
No, not at all. You know, and we look at wheat, you know, and wheat, of course, is the leader of the complex. And you know, they need a rain. There's no question. I just talked to some of our guys out in Kansas today. They're saying, well, a rain this week could maybe make 50 to 60 bushel wheat. No rain this week, well, you're probably looking at 25, 30, maybe 35 bushel wheat. And so not too far off, actually, from what the wheat tour was.
Right.
And they're saying, you know.
They were saying 10 days on that wheat tour, weren't they?
Yep. Yeah, they were. And so, you know, the question I have to ask is, you know, they're at a $2.20 premium right now on wheat, you know, and we're way above the world numbers. So the question, I guess, that bears to be asked is how far will the funds necessarily push this? Because we did see a lot of outside money come in, you know, yesterday for sure into the marketplace. And so that'll be the big one. I know that the put buying has picked up a great deal in wheat, and I'm not surprised. I'm sure that some of that is you know, some of that are producers. But I would think that it's also guys who have long positions in wheat, you know, who are a little more nervous about how far can it go.
Well, I mean, the thing about the wheat market is we're already overpriced on the world market.
Yep.
And because of that, you can squint into the technical futures and you can see $10 wheat.
Oh, yeah.
And the specs would just love to push it there because we're already outpriced.
Oh, there's absolutely no question about that. And, you know, the whole thing will come until suddenly they find out that they're no longer, they just can't move it anymore. And so that's probably why they're buying puts in that respect. But, you know, if the wheat market would begin to falter, that's certainly not going to be good for anything when it comes to the, you know, to the corn market, because the corn market is definitely living and breathing off of the wheat market. And so, you know, it's just one of those situations where the corn market right now is living off of delayed planting. Well, you know, when you look at South Dakota, they're 25% planted this year already compared to 7% for last year. North Dakota is a big question. They have almost 3 million acres of corn. You know, they could probably lose a half million acres or
more. North Dakota, northern Wisconsin, parts
right,
of Minnesota.
Well, let's face it, northern Wisconsin does not grow very much corn. I hate to tell you, unless you're going to feed fish with it, there's not much corn that's grown there.
That's true.
And so, but, you know, the other thing is, too, will we lose some, in that North Dakota area, they average about 110, but they're probably going to look at a shorter maturity corn, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think the big thing, more than anything, is how many extra bean acres might we pick up? And are we really right about the acreage? You know, that's probably the wild card.
With the prevented plant from last year, I think it's all a wild card, and we won't know for a while.
No, we won't know until the end of June for sure, I would say, because, and you know, we've got El Nino floating around here too, and if El Nino would show up the way they say it's supposed to, it would be, again, another cooler July, June and July than what we had, like we had last year, which really helped the corn last mm-hmm. year, you know. So there's just so many things out there. It'll be good to have the report behind us. There's no question about that. Just to be able to say, okay, now we can move on from here and find and figure out what we're really going to do, you know. But it makes it kind of tough.
So is it reasonable for hedgers to say December corn? Yeah, I'm going to hold out for next increment at you know, 5.25, somewhere around there.
Is it reasonable for them to do that? It depends upon how much of their crop they're gambling with. I mean, you know, I think that if they've done nothing, I don't see how you can possibly do that, because we don't know 5.25 is in the cards.
I said, next increment, so assuming they've done something.
Right, right. As the next increment, to hold out, well, they can. You know, the reality is when we come in on Monday night, if this part of the Midwest really, really hammered into the ground looked like it's going to, we could have 50% of the corn crop in. And if we have that, we'll still be a little bit behind, but not that much. And you're putting corn in contrast to last year. You're putting corn in the places that produce the most corn. So I would say, you know, stay on top of it. If you're going to wait for that 5.25, we got to get through that 5.17 level first.
Right.
You know, and so you better be very careful, and you better be prepared to pull the trigger. I'm not, you know, I'm bullish corn in the long term, but boy, it's hard to be extremely bullish corn right now on new crop, until we have a better handle on just what our acreage situation is. You know, there's probably 1 to 2 million acres floating around out there. Some might go to beans, some might go to corn. You just don't know. But will we lose enough to make up the difference? That's the scary part.
Anything else before we let you go?
Well, no. I you know, when you look at the overall, I heard you talk about livestock, you know, and the old beef market just keeps on moving along, and it's kind of interesting because they came out with the export numbers today, up 7.7% last month.
7.7, right.
Yeah, you know, and Hong Kong is now the third largest destination for beef, which I think is amazing. Mexico doubled their beef usage from last year, you know, and so that Asian demand stays strong. Boy, that's a really good thing. On the pork side of things, they can't figure out what they're doing. Their exports are up 23% in this March versus last March. And between Mexico and Hong Kong, China-Hong Kong, they took 66% of all the March exports for pork. And so, you know, Mexico there, too, almost doubled their demand, 43% up. China-Hong Kong, 74% up. Fantastic demand in that marketplace. So if we can get ourselves back on track and get our animals back, our animal numbers back, especially, you know, in the beef and the pork, it could be a great thing for us on the corn side.
Thank you very much, Jackie.
Thank you, Dave. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. She was in Champaign, Illinois. December corn, 509 and a quarter, down a quarter. November beans are 1222 and three quarters, down 2.5. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.